I just have been led to this, this incoming year, to the year came in to, and especially after Reverend Cornish on New Year's Day gave us that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. And he specifically said Jesus is better than Santa Claus, okay? And, you know, not knocking Santa Claus, but hey, come on, let's face it. You know, Jesus is better because he is God. Hebrews chapter 1, okay? All right, then. So we're going to, and I felt it as he said that we need to understand that we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this coming year, we need to trust him because we don't know what this year is going to bring for any of us, do we? And I want to remember, as we go into prayer, because I want to go into prayer, we want to remember Sister Betty Reed. That's the sister of Deaconess Barbara Barr. We want to remember her at this point, and I just feel like we should have a special prayer as we pray and go into the message, because the Lord knows what he's doing in any of our lives. He knows what he's doing in any of our lives, and we don't have to fret. I know that through the flesh that we do get, you know, we get weary of things that happen, but through his spirit, we can rejoice. Because the joy of the Lord is the joy of our salvation. Amen. Amen. And we're also going to be praying for Sister Carolyn, too, as she's going to be going through some things also. Okay? So let us pray right now before we go into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you that you're God and that you're God alone, Lord, and there is no other God but thee, Lord. And how do we know that? Because truly, Lord, the moment we come to Jesus Christ, your word tells us, and the moment we come to Jesus Christ, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are your children, as Romans 8 tells us. And we thank you so much, Lord, for that. Lord, we come before you, Lord, because we know that we have one that need our prayers right now. We know that there are many that need our prayers and that we need to pray for one another. But as we lift up our sister Betty Reed right now, Lord, knowing that she's going through some things in these physical bodies, Lord, but truly as been read by Deacon Tyson, truly the Romans 8 tells us that the sufferings of this world can't be compared to what you have prepared for us in glory. Lord Jesus, as John says, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would just help her right now as she's going through, and help the family, Lord, because this takes a toll on the family, Lord, when a loved one is down and physically down, and when they lose loved ones, Lord, we pray and continue for the Gillen family, Lord, and we pray for Sister Carolyn as she continues to go through different tests, Lord, and we know that you're able because you brought us through so many things, Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, as we look at this word today, Lord, to understand that truly when we see bad things happen, Lord, that we can still lift up Romans 8:28, and we do know that all things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And we thank the Lord. As I said once before, I thank the Lord for all of you when you come out to the services, because I just believe that the Lord is leading you here to be here with us, because you don't have to come, and God is faithful. As we're going to look at our lesson for the day, we started with trusting God in troubled times, and when we first started around the New Year's, that's actually last week's lesson, trusting God in troubled times. When we started in the New Year's, what was it? Can you remember what we started in New Year's? Entering this new year, trusting in God alone. We have so many things that distract our attention and want our trust. We have so many things that want our trust, right? And not only do the things of the world want our trust, but our own selves. We trust ourselves, too. We think we can trust ourselves. But we got to remember that we can't trust anybody except God. Even ourselves will let us down because of our sin nature. We're fallen creatures. Yeah. So as we look at this lesson today, God is to be trusted when bad things happen. As we look at the situation that not only that happened in Hades, we had a situation with the tsunami. You remember the tsunami that happened? We had a situation that really touched home in 9/11, didn't we? We had a situation that happened. I mean, these are terrible situations. And don't you ask yourself sometime, even as God's children, Lord, where are you? You know, where are you in these times? Couldn't you have prevented this? Of course. course, he could prevent anything he wanted to prevent. But God has a permissive will. He has a permissive will, okay, where he allowed things to happen, and all the things work towards the good of those who love him to give him the glory. He gets the glory out of it. He said, well, I don't know how you can get the glory out of me having a flat tire and don't be able to pay my bills, and I'm sick and can't get well. I don't know how God can have the glory. I don't understand all mysteries of God, but I do understand one thing. When we look at this lesson today, you're going to understand that in God's realm, in the spiritual realm, there's a lot of things going on that we can't understand. We can't understand it, but we got to have faith in God that he is in full control. Like we said last week, he's in full control of everything. No matter what happened, he's in full control. Guess what? He's in full control. Even we fall short and sin against him, he's still in full control, and he uses that to his glory. Yes. I'm talking about we who are his children. Yes. Is somebody here saying they don't fall short? Is somebody here saying they don't walk that line and they don't have no faults yet? No, I know it's not nobody. And this is what we're going to see in the book of Job. The book of Job, they don't have an author. The author is really unknown. They're not sure. Some people say Moses. Some people said maybe some other patriarch. And actually, it's not for us to, I mean, it's not nothing to really quiver over. All we know is that this is the word of God, okay? And what we're going to see here today is three things that we can, God is to be trusted in bad, when bad things happen. We need to, first of all, rely on God's faithfulness. Remember that Satan is the enemy. God is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy, okay? And that we can reaffirm God's sovereign control over everything as we realize that we can't understand everything, but by faith we can believe things, believe everything in Christ Jesus, okay? Starting with verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz. That's Uz, not Oz, okay? Uz, okay? Whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Alex don't like what I'm saying, I guess. Or is he saying, speed this thing up? You know, he's joining with me. He's praising God. He's amen. He's praising God. He's praising God. Children do praise God. Matter of fact, sometimes I think in the service, sometimes children may be the most legitimate praise in here. Now, I ain't going to say that because somebody think I'm talking about myself, okay? So Job was a rich man. Job was a family man. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And by scripture, you can understand that he was wealthy. And he had a lot of land, because they had that many oxen, they had that many cattle, camel and all. You have to have somebody to graze them. That's things, right? So he had a lot of land, and it talks about his household was great. He had a lot of slaves or servants, okay? He had a lot of servants that worked for him too, okay? So this man was, as the scripture says, was a notable patriarch in his time, okay? So you look at this and you say, well, what has this got to do with God is to be trusted when bad things happen? Because in all that he have, we're going to see something happen. We're going to see something happen that we're going to say, and I might say in our mind, well, of this man, why should this happen to him? Well, there's a scripture in Luke that I want to keep your hand in Job, because we're in Job. But there's a scripture in Luke I want to bring forth to you right now, as some of our minds might say as we finish this lesson up. You know, of all people, Job shouldn't suffer. The Lord already said he was upright. He eschewed evil. He didn't do a lot of evil. He did what was right. In the book of Luke, in chapter 13, it reads this way. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You say, well, how are you throwing this in with Job? There's a group of people as Jesus was coming along, and they reminded Jesus of some things that happened. One thing that happened is that was that Pilate took a group of worshipers, and because the Roman Empire was beating down on the people, on the Jewish people, while they were worshiping and sacrificing, they killed them right at the altar and mingled their blood with the sacrifice of the blood of the sacrifices. Wow. But Jesus said, he said, do you think that these people were worse sinners than anybody else? He said, no. He said, he's teaching about repentance. See, what we need to understand that being human, we are all subject to suffering and things that happen in the world. Every one of us. See, sometimes we get this pie in the sky thing thinking that we are Christians and that we are not going to go through some thing. Why would we get that? If you read the gospel, sometimes I don't think we read the gospels. Our Lord Jesus Christ went through everything and more than we have could ever think about going through. Amen. He suffered for us and died for us. And then they told him about the people who were walking down the road. They seemed to be walking down the road, and a tower may have been being constructed, and the Tower of Siloam, and it just fell on them and killed them all. Jesus said, do you think that these were the worst of sinners? He's in other words saying that this don't prove whether a person is unrighteous or righteous because sudden things happen to them, because that was the thought of that day. The thought of that day, if something really bad happened to you, you must be a serious sinner. Mm-hmm. It's not just in that day. Isn't it today too? Yeah. We'll see things happen to a brother or sister in the church. We say, oh, what did they do? Whoa, what did the pastor do? The pastor must be doing something. A deacon must be doing something. And it's not that way. This is why I want to read that scripture to you. But nevertheless, Jesus is not saying that sin has not taken a toll on the earth now. We know in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, when man fell in Genesis 3, that it tells us very plainly in Genesis 3, 17 to 19, that the world and all went downhill, was affected by sin, the man of sin. Don't ever tell me sin don't affect nobody but me. You know, there's people out here that says that I'm just doing this myself. It don't affect nobody else. Sin affects everyone. Yes. But most importantly, sin affects God. It's an affront against our God.
Yes, it is.
Back to Job. Just want to share that with you to let us know that we, none of us, are exempt from catastrophes. If you understand what I'm saying. None of us are exempt. But we need to understand that God is faithful. And this is what Job understood. Job understood that he needed to rely on the faithfulness of God. How do we know Job understood that? Because in verse 5, look what it says in verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting, his sons and his daughters, right? Were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the numbers of them all 10 of them, right? He sacrificed all 10 of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously prayed for his children. He continues to pray for his children. And we said, perhaps it could be that they unknowingly or knowingly did something against God. So what he would do, he would pray on a continuous basis. Week after week, he would continue to sacrifice and pray daily for his children. So Job relied on God's faithfulness. He knew that God was faithful to what? To forgive. God has always been a forgiving God. He's always required repentance. He's always required repentance. You see why I brought in Luke? So Job relied on God. Job relied on God faithfulness before we see what's about to happen to him. See, we rely on God long as we got something, right? Mm-hmm. Long as things are going good for us, our health is all right, we got the money we need, you know, the husband acting all right, the wife acting all right, the children acting all right, we're just in seventh heaven, if I could say it that way, right? Mm-hmm. But the moment something happened, can we still, or are we still relying on God? Or do we go to ourself? Or do we just woe is me thing, right? Woe is me. Why is this happening to me? Why not? Have you been that good that nothing should happen to you? I mean, we get that way. We get that syndrome. Don't we get the why is me? Why me? I done come to church. I done came to church. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. They only made 50 weeks. I mean, 50 days.
Well, how many Sundays in
02? 52. They missed two. I made all 52 Sundays. Why is this happening to me? Job wasn't like that. See, Job realized that God could still be trusted when bad things happen. Remember that Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. Look at verses 6 to 12. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for not? The only reason Satan, you know his name mean, he's the accuser, he's the adversary. He's doing it right now. Do you think he's not doing that right now? Oh, they sitting up in church. But they the Lord, they sitting up in church, but the only reason they come to church is because they think that if they don't come to church, you're gonna bust their bubble. If they didn't have the bubble, what are you saying about Job here? If Job didn't have all he had, he would not worship you. In other words, I read a little illustration. In other words, Satan is saying they have a worship coin. If that worship coin go in and nothing comes out, guess what? They ain't gonna worship you, okay? And he worship you because he had the worship coin, he putting it in, and you giving him a lot of stuff. Take the stuff away from him, God, and he will curse you to your face. But God knew what he was doing, right? He's already told Satan, before Satan going to his conversation, he said that, have you tried my servant Job? Servant Job, Job is upright. What he said about Job with God, this is God's testimony of Job. Job is perfect and upright. That perfect is mature. Job is a person who's striving towards righteousness. He's trying to strive to do that which is right towards God. Uprightness. He's morally right. He's trying to do the right things. He's trying not to do those things which is against God's will. God says it's of Job. Can he say that of any of us when Satan comes before him? Have you tried my servant Nathaniel Barr? He's a pastor of Community Baptist Church. Can he say that about me? Can we have that testimony? And only we as individuals know that, right? As we're trusting God. Satan says they only worship you because you've given them stuff. Take the stuff away and they won't worship you. They won't come to church. Take the stuff away from them, they won't come to church. Well, we want to prove Satan wrong. See, what I'm trying to show you here is, remember that Satan is the enemy. He's the accuser. He's constantly accusing, but before God accusing, because he still has access to God. Not heaven, but access to God. You understand what I'm saying? Access to God, because God is everywhere. And then I heard one minister said, you know, God is like the, you remember in the Roman Empire, the emperor would come out on this portable and Dr. Fowler used to teach this too. This portable, like a portable throne, right? You remember the, you know, movies of Roman Empire, the emperor, when he wanted to come before the people at times, he'd come on a portable throne. He'd come on this portable throne. Right. Well, here is, we see here that God is that all the angels, even the demons and Satan, are still subject to God, and they come before God to make it a, give an account to God of what you're doing. And what Satan is doing, he's going to and fro on the earth, making havoc, reaping havoc. Yes, he is. And he's going to and fro. 1 Peter chapter 5, what it says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, he's like a roaring lion walking about to see who he can devour, see who he can get, see who he can bring down. But have you tried my servant Job? God said to him. Satan says, well, you know, let me do something. God gives, so we see God's sovereignty here. We see God in full control here. All right, Satan, have your way. And get to the point where God said, but you can't touch his life. You can't kill him because what? Who's the author of life? God. So we're getting to the reaffirming God's sovereign control of everything. So God gives the permission for Satan to deal with Job. Do you know what Satan did? If you read the verses from 13 and following, the first thing he did was take Job's possessions. All of his thousands of animals and all the things, they were all taken by the Sabaeans. They came and just took everything, took all his possession. And people came running every time something happened. And it would come in that rapid procession. It would come really fast, right? You know, we can't deal with a thing that happened. And I had a hard time dealing. This time I did better with the, I think I did better with the Cadillac getting totaled. But I had a real hard time when the 1998 Blazer was totaled. That was my baby. I had a hard time with that. But I think the Lord taught me a little something to that. I didn't really whine as much. I was thanking him. I learned to thank him that I was alive. Okay? Now, what had happened, Job, all his possessions, all his cattle was gone. Then, to top it off, a lightning, it seemed like a lightning, it says fire from heaven came, a wind, like a tornado came. And the children, as they normally do, as a family, they're really family-oriented, right? And they met. The wind came as the 10 children were in the house, came and hit the house and brought the house down. Only children killed all 10 of the children, Job's children. Don't tell me that this man ain't going through something. He's going through something. This is a catastrophe. This is a calamity that if you like me, when you read Job, say, Lord, I'm glad you know that Job can go through. Because I don't know if I could take this. But if you understand that God is to be trusted when bad things happen, then we will understand that Job didn't understand that. He didn't know about the counsel that went on between God and angels and Satan. He didn't know about that. See, we get to thinking that Job was up there in heaven when God had to counsel with the angels and the sons of God. We believe that is our angels. I know there's a different understanding of some things like that, but to me, we can see by the scriptures here that it says sons of God, and then you see Satan comes before him, Satan being a angel or a spirit himself, right? And we see that God is counseling with the angel. What really, when I read Job and read that part, it showed me that God has full control. Even Satan himself can't do anything apart from God, amen, allowing him to do it. In our lives, he allowed it. You say, well, I don't like it. I don't know why he had to do this. Well, some things I don't like either, but we better start trusting God and not ourselves and stop questioning God. I ain't talking about we can't ask God of things, but to question God and point the finger, that's another thing. You know, why, God, you let this happen to me? Okay. So, he's lost his cattle, all his possessions, all 10 of his children, and Job reaffirms God's sovereign control over all things. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. Man, when they tore the clothes in ancient time, that was a signifying of grief and mostly of grief putting himself before God. Just putting yourself before God. Came out, verse 20, took off his mantle, which is clothes, and shaved his head. Shaving his head was another form of grief, and humbled himself before God and fell down upon the ground. And what does it say at the end of verse 20? Worship. Come on now. How many of us go through things and we still worship God? We go through things and we complain day after day, moment after moment, right? We think complaining is worshiping. I don't know about you all, but when we go through things, we think this is worship. And we go to the wife or the husband, right? Oh, somebody would call. I don't know why these things happen to me. I don't know why. That is not worship. Listen to what worship is. Joseph shaved his head. He rent his clothes. I mean, Job. And in verse 21 it says, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, I don't know about you all. But now, y'all, you work. Just listen to me. I ain't gonna say it's nobody in here to do that, but there have been things I've went through and happened to me. I didn't go this way. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't go this way. And made me tell you, I didn't go this way. Job is showing forth a true worshipful heart and a true relying on the faithfulness of God. And even though he don't know the counsel that went on between Satan and God, right? Don't know the conversation went. He's trusting God anyhow. And he says, he came into the world with nothing. When we're born, how many people seen a baby come out with a full set of clothes yet? I mean, that's just, I mean, just, I mean, you know, carrying a guitar. I mean, come on now. You understand, this is simple to understand. He came into this world with nothing. Everybody who's born come to this world with nothing. And now he says, I'm going to leave this world with nothing. And he said, well, in the casket, they put clothes on you. Look at what he's saying. This has been a euphemism or understanding or symbolic of the earth. And they would have understood that man was taken from the earth. Remember, Genesis tells us, man was taken from the earth, and God told Adam in chapter 3, and to the dust you will return. So he's talking about that. You're going, even though you got them clothes on, you ain't taking them nowhere with you. You ain't taking them nowhere with you. The Egyptians proved that to us, right? All them, you open up them pyramids, the things are still in there. They thought they were crossing over with a whole lot of loot. The things are still in there. So Job worshiped God. It says very plainly, he worshiped God. And it says in verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God with doing this to him. Now, if you read all through the book of Job, you understand that. You understand? You do understand this, that I don't care how saintly we are, I'll say it that way, or how faithful we are, pressure comes down, and there will be some things that we will probably slip and say. 1 John, question? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But a true child of God will never continuously will never indict God with the things that happened to them. Even with this that have happened in this world today, the things, the calamity that we're seeing happen in the world today, it would not be a true child of God to indict God of doing this. He allows things now. It's of his permissive will. Yes. Mm-hmm. But James tells us in James, God don't use evil to tempt man. What else it said about he don't use evil tempt man, or he don't in James chapter 1. And he's not evil. But he permits it. Why do he permit it? That he can use it all for his glory. I don't understand that. I don't understand that fully. All I understand is that God is to be trusted when bad things happen. Are bad things happening in your life? Are things happening in your life today? Yeah. I mean, every one of us have an issue or a situation or something that happens in our lives. And you say to yourself, I don't want it there. No, not today, Lord. I'm sorry, but it's there. And by the way, when we say not today, Lord, or why this happened to me, are we that big and bad before the Lord that we say that, Lord, you know, I have been good. have not cussed in 2 days. I mean, I'm just using something to show us that we all fall short. Amen. Even as God's children, but God is faithful, isn't he? He is so faithful. And when you look at the book of Job, I know I didn't go through all of Job. I challenge you to read the book of Job. For Job is also, Satan wasn't fit. God, Satan come back before God again in chapter 2 and says, yeah, but you took all the things away from his possession all, and he allowed him to take his health away. Oh, man. And the respect of his wife. Now, think about this now. Have any of us suffered to that point yet? Maybe so. Maybe I don't know. I just don't know, okay? But I just thought that this would be good for us to understand that even in the world today, there are calamities that could come upon us right now. Before we even leave this, before we finish this service, it could be a calamity. You know, it could be something that happened. But God can be trusted through anything that happens to us, even in sickness, okay? Because he's working all things to get the glory out of it all. And he's wanting to benefit us. God is a perfect father, if you all stand for a moment. God's a perfect father, isn't he? He's a perfect father. You know, Jesus said one time in the gospel, he said, what earthly father is going to give their child a stone for a what is it? A scorpion for a loaf of bread, or a stone for a loaf of bread, and a scorpion for an egg or something like that. But anyway, what he was getting to the point is, if earthly men who are fallen creatures, right? We are fallen creatures, do good to their children, how much more do a perfect, holy God will do for those who love him? And how do you come to love God? By accepting his son, Jesus Christ. That's how you come to love. That's what the scripture says. That's not me. You know, people say, well, I know people don't believe in Jesus and they religious. Well, I would like to tell you that that's what they are. They're religious. As Sister Petrina said Wednesday evening, religion, that somebody has said, is man trying to achieve his way to God. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is realizing that God has come down to man. What can I say? That's what the scripture tells us. You here today, and do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, well, I wouldn't be at church if I didn't. Hey, it's a lot of people going to church that don't know Jesus, I'm telling you right now. Amen. And only reason I'm saying that is not that I'm peeping in somebody's heart and know everything. I don't know everything. But I'm just saying there's a lot of people. John says that people, when people leave out from the faith and don't believe who Jesus is anymore, that they never knew Jesus in the first place. 1 John chapter 2, right? Okay. So, I give the invitation each Sunday because there might be someone here today who, for the first time, need to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that Romans 3:21? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 3:23, I'm sorry. 3:23, thank you. And that the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. And if the wages of sin is death and all have sinned, that means that everybody is under the death penalty with God. Nobody is right with God. Nobody. You say, well, what about the person who have done 99 right things, but he only done one wrong thing? Nobody is right with God. In order to get to heaven, you have to be 100%. That's what the scripture tells us in Galatians. You have to be 100% perfect, okay? And there's no one perfect. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures is written, saying that Christ died. Christ died for our sins. I'm glad Sister Milton came down, but one of you all supposed to be giving the invitation. Well, I get back there and get ready while they go get the candidates for baptism. So I would like the leaders to get the candidates for baptism out of children's church. It might be hard to get them out of children's church, because I hear that children's church is what is happening. They got snacks and everything. No, we're not going to have snacks in Mr. Church services. But I just want, I just as Reverend Zimmerman continued, will you continue? If Reverend Zimmerman continued the invitation, if you're here today and you don't know whether or not that you know Jesus, then you need to know Jesus. And you understand what I'm saying? I got to put it like that. If you don't know whether or not you know Jesus, then you need to know Jesus. Because Scripture says when you know him, you know him, you have assurance, okay? And I believe these two young people, when they came forth the other Sunday, I believe that they knew what they were coming forth for, to give their life to Jesus Christ.
They're the pastor already giving you the invitation. If you don't know Jesus, come to Jesus. And that way, when you go through things, you don't want to go through them by yourself, because you have a foundation that you can lean on. That's Jesus Christ. Because he says in the word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says Hebrews 13. That means he's always going to be with you. And he's going to give you the strength that you need to go through anything that you may be suffering through. So is there one today who has not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone? Is there anyone today? Is there anyone who don't know who Jesus is? Not that he's the Son of God, you know that, but do you know him as Lord and Savior of your life? Do you know that his Spirit is living within you because you have confessed him?